Hi, I'm Pastor Torrin Brooks, and welcome to Faith Christian Church. Delighted you decided to join us today. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to be looking through God's Word and finding ways for it to apply to our lives today. Hope you enjoy this morning's sermon.
Scientists tell us when we are born with two fears, a fear of abandonment and a fear of falling. So many people today are afraid of falling that they're afraid to do anything.
This morning, I want to talk to you about one of the most significant people who has ever fallen that we read about in the Bible. There is a lot that's not said in our Bible about Judas Iscariot. There's not a lot. In fact, most preachers love to skip Judas, because to talk about Judas means to talk about one of the most debated people in all of the New Testament. Now you say, well, what about Jesus? I thought Jesus was one of the most debated people in all the New Testament. No, really, Judas is, because people have had so many different conflicting ideas about Judas, and part of the reason was is because there's so many different people who have tried to study, and there's so much extra biblical information about Judas outside of the Bible that it's hard to tell which of the stuff that you read is actual truth and which of it is actual fiction. So how many of you know that these lost books of the Bible aren't necessarily, like, scriptural? I hope you understand that not everything... Well, let me start off by re-premising this whole statement, which I say at least once a month since I've been here. You can't always trust what the History Channel says about God. You can't always trust what the Discovery Channel tells you about Jesus. And these people, although they seem to find some of the most... Well, no, that's not true. Some of the people I've seen on there just look absolutely crazy. But some of them seem to be legitimate scholars, and they have all these great ideas and all these different ideas about Jesus and the books of the Bible. And Judas, although they don't argue a whole lot about Judas, Judas can arguably be one of the most disputed characters in the New Testament, because there's so much different information coming at you from all sources. And most people don't like to talk about Judas too, because Judas blows the idea out of our minds about free will. Because when you start to study the life of Judas, here's what you find. You only find him in a couple of places in the Bible. One of the places you find him is when he's arguing, well, in the list of the disciples. Okay, you find him there. You find him when the woman comes to anoint the feet of Jesus. You find him there arguing about that they should have kept it. Now, I don't know where he thought he was going to stop her from pouring the fragrance out. You know, by the time he probably noticed that she was doing it, it was probably too late to keep any of the fragrance in the bottle. But here is this idea of that Judas is arguing over money with Jesus. He's saying, look, you know what? We could have saved that money for the poor. What he should have been saying was, because a lot of people believe that Judas was a part of a group of people who were so bent on assassinating people who were in charge of the Roman government and overthrowing the Romans and bringing about the messianic rule of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're about bringing in the Messiah to rule and reign over Jerusalem and kick the Romans out. And you know what? It wasn't a bad idea. Everybody wanted to do that. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me this morning? I'm going to teach a little bit, but then I want you to hear what I'm saying this morning, because the problem with Judas is Judas comes to a place in his life where he's frustrated with the idea that Jesus is not taking over Jerusalem. Listen, if he really was a part of this sect of people who were all about overthrowing the Romans, it must have come to his mind after several times Jesus saying, listen, I'm not going to be with you much longer. I'm going to die. Remember, everybody was about Jesus coming into and taking over and triumphal entry and all that stuff, only for Jesus to turn around and say, listen, in a few days they're going to kill me by crucifixion. They're going to hang me from a tree. And in 3 days I'll rise again. And nobody could get over the they're going to kill me part. Because nowhere that they thought of in the Messiah text does it talk about the Messiah has to die first. What they see in the biblical prophecies of the Old Testament are simply this. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to come in glory and splendor. He's going to come and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. It's about time. Nobody's got it right since Solomon, and he was the one all messed up because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And he didn't have a temple just to God. He had a temple to everything. Every foreign wife he had, he built a temple for her. And a palace for her. And some other things. You know. Nobody's got it right since Solomon. He didn't have it completely right. We're waiting for the Messiah to come and set up his kingdom. And then we're going to be the ones on top. And there are people who were dedicated to make sure that was going to happen. Yet here is Jesus. He's talking about death. He's talking about dying. He's talking about giving it all up. He's saying, whoever hangs on to their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The way I'm going, you can't go. But you know the way. Judas had to be one of the most frustrated individuals, because here he is. He has hitched himself to the Jesus bandwagon, only to find out that the Jesus bandwagon isn't going to the throne, it's going to the cross. And it's not what he intended to do. I can imagine with my own mind and intellect, which don't laugh, with my own mind, that Judas saw that fragrance being poured out on the feet of Jesus and said, that could have been money we could have used to raise soldiers. After all, how many of you know, the only good soldier is a paid soldier. They used to say when I was in the army, that's why we pay you and keep you well fed. Throughout the centuries, military leaders have learned that in order to keep the army going, you got to keep them well paid and well fed. I still look well fed, don't I? We could have used that money to raise soldiers, because you know what? If Jesus is going to take over Jerusalem, we need an army. But things aren't going the way Judas had planned, and they're not going the way that they should have gone. And now there comes a conflict of interest. Because, like Thomas had already said, when they went to Bethany, he goes, well, I guess if we're going to go, let's go die with Jesus. All of a sudden, people have begun to understand that the way that Jesus is going is only going to lead to their death. And Judas hasn't accomplished the one thing his sect has been on doing, taking over Jerusalem for the kingdom. So what do you do if you know that your leader is going to die? Well, if Team A doesn't work out, you go to Plan B. He knew that the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, were not going to be able to take Jesus in public. They already tried to kill him a couple of times. See, this is what dawned on me. The Bible says they were afraid to take him in public because they were afraid the crowd would rise up. But in other times, they tried to take him, and the Bible says he just slipped through the crowd, and they couldn't catch him. That's usually when you see him in the Bible. Says, and he hopped on a boat and went over to the other side. It's pretty smart if you think about it. People are trying to kill you. The fastest way to get away is across the sea. But now Judas has come to this point where he realizes that he doesn't want to die. He wants, and the Jewish leaders, you know, to be honest, the Jewish leaders want to overthrow Rome too. So he says, listen. He says, I know where Jesus is going to be. I'll come get you when it's time. A couple interesting things happen when they're at the Last Supper. Jesus identifies who his betrayer is going to be, as if he already knew exactly what Judas was up to and what he was going to do. And the hard part about the story of Judas is most people still believe that he had no choice in the matter. That Judas was going to betray Jesus no matter what. And you know what? Honestly, I can't tell you any different this morning. Because I don't know. You know, if we were to spend all of our time doing the what ifs, we would find ourselves compelled to come up with all kinds of imaginations on what could have been, or how it could have been, how this could have happened or that could have happened. I read a what if book one time that said, what if Judas had not betrayed Jesus? Maybe Jesus would have lived to be 90 years old. Or something like that. And they talked about how Jesus lived the rest of his days teaching and doing good. But the problem is they didn't understand that God had a plan. Amen? God had a plan. And in that plan, somebody had to turn him in. Something had to happen. Judas happened to be one who I think with the failed concepts of destruction of Rome and the failed uprising of Jesus taking over and him not doing what Judas thought he was going to do, Judas allowed bitterness to come into his heart. And when the Bible says that Satan entered into him, I don't think it was a far stretch. I don't think he went from the good attitude to a bad attitude automatically. I think he was already in a bad attitude. See, what we don't understand is, and now this is a side note, you get this one for free, but on a side note, you don't understand that sometimes it's not hard for Satan to take over your life when you're already opening up the door. I laugh when my wife opened up the door, we put the new door in, and right now it doesn't have an actuator, so as soon as you open up the door, it just goes open. And it doesn't close back, it just stays wide open. She goes, well, how is it supposed to close? I say, well, you push it closed. She goes, no, that's not how it's supposed to work, is it? And I said, no, but we haven't got the extra piece in yet. And I said, and, you know, a thought occurred to my mind. It's the same way Judas was, because the bitterness had already entered his life. It wasn't any great step to allow Satan to take over and allow that mindset to control his life. We know that he comes up to Jesus in the garden with the soldiers. He kisses Jesus on the cheek to identify him as the one. He goes, he is whipped, Jesus is taken, he is beaten. And somewhere in the mix, Judas realizes what has happened, thinking that he can undo what he has done. He takes the 30 pieces of silver back to the people of the temple, and he gives it to them. Now, what's next is unclear. So we don't know exactly how it happened. But this is what it says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas's betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, talking about Jesus, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He went and hanged himself. You know, last week we talked about Peter. And I want to just compare the two for a minute and let you realize that I think there's something to be said about the fact that Peter denied the Lord three times and yet still went back. And that Judas had an opportunity, because the Bible said that Judas felt remorseful. In other words, it wasn't that he was just, oh, well, Jesus is going to get what he deserves. Look at that. Look what I did. I brought down the man. He wasn't like that. He actually had remorsefulness. He actually knew he was sorry. He knew he had done something wrong. But the difference between Peter and the difference between Judas is when Peter went back, Judas went and hanged himself. Now, there's all kinds of historical stories that tell you other things other than that. Judas did this or Judas did that. Judas didn't hang himself right away. He hung himself later, and they They get that because the Bible said that he appeared unto the 11, but Thomas wasn't with them, saying that Judas was probably still alive when Jesus appeared to him. But the point is, at some point in his life, he made a decision that there was no way, no way he could go back. There was no way that Judas could walk back through the door into the company of the people that believed like he did. No way he could walk back into their presence. And the remorsefulness and the despair overwhelmed him to the point where he no longer wanted to live. And I want you to understand that we live in a world today where so many people think that their sins are so bad they can never walk back through the door of the church again. And I want them to hear me, and I want you to hear me. That is so wrong. See, the Bible says in Isaiah, there is no sin too dark or too deep that God can't forgive. See, we think about the eternal damnation of Judas as being one of these things that was preordained, and I don't think that's true. Because if that were true, then some of us would be destined to fail, destined to fall, with no chance of ever getting back up again. And I just don't believe that's the God I serve. I believe the God I serve says it doesn't matter how much you've sinned, it doesn't matter how bad the sin, if you come to me with a willing heart and ask for forgiveness, I can forgive it. I can do it. Judas, his problem was he was deceived into thinking that he could never go back because what he had done was too bad. If he had known the truth was what he did brought about the salvation of everyone. What he did opened up the door to allow the process to happen in order for Jesus to be crucified, him to be rose again. It was all Judas's fault. Judas was part of the plan. And sometimes we wonder why God lets us fall. And you know the problem is, so many people, when God lets them fall, they get so mad at God because he's doing something. I used to laugh. I had a friend of mine said, I would rather God leave me alone than God let me fall. Because when God lets me fall, I have to get back up. I would rather God save me. Why can't God just save everybody without having to do all the falling? Well, guess what? We're human beings. Well, I hope we're all human beings here this morning. But we're all human. And we are all going to fall. Whether we do it on our own or whether it's a part of God's plan to help us get back on our feet again. See, some of us are too stubborn to fall on our own. The Bible says pride cometh before a fall. Sometimes God lets us fall flat on our backs, not so we can feel remorse and feel sorry for ourselves and end up in despair to where we want to kill ourselves, but he puts us in a place where we can get back up again and start over again and do something right for a change. We blame Judas for too much, but in essence, what Judas is really at fault for was not getting back up after he fell. Peter did, and because Peter got up after he fell, he was blessed. Because Peter got back up after he denied Jesus three. Look, Judas only betrayed him once. Peter denied him three times. We say, well, what Judas did was worse than that. Because no, it wasn't. See, that's a misnomer too. Because I want you to know this morning that sin is sin is sin is sin. Did you hear me this morning? There is no sin greater than another sin. There is no sin worse than another sin. If somebody kills and somebody lies, the Bible says that sin is sin. There is both penalties is death. Say, well, Pastor, that's not fair. Well, life's not fair. But God is just. And he holds us all accountable for what we do and what we say and how we act. And if it's sin, it's sin. And it shouldn't surprise us what things are sin because they're like, I don't know, written down for us. Now, granted, I know a lot of people are growing up in America today not able to read, but you can hear it. Good grief, they got, I don't know how many versions of audio Bibles online today you can listen to. You don't even have to read. You can just click play. It's amazing how many kids today can't read, but they know how to click a button on a computer. We know what we're supposed to do. The object is, though, are we going to get back up when we fall? Are we going to get back up when we fail? Or are we going to let the devil keep lying to us, saying what you did was too bad to be forgiven? See, I've never met a single person in my life ever who was too bad that they couldn't be forgiven. So, well, what about that blasphemy of the Holy? You know what? No, I've never seen it. Never seen it in my life. And I've met a lot of people. Met a lot of people through the army, led a lot of people in college, met a lot of people traveling, met a lot of people up here since I've been here, knew a lot of people back home in Tennessee. I know a lot of, look, I've never met somebody who God couldn't forgive. Never. Now, I may have met a few people that didn't want to be forgiven, but that's a different choice. See, somewhere in the thought processes of Judas and Peter, they both had to come to a crossroads of decision where they had to say, do I stay in misery or do I get up? Peter had every right to take the same path that Judas did. Do you realize that? Peter, look, the Bible said Peter just didn't go, oh, listen to that. It's the rooster. Jesus was right. Shucks. Peter ran away weeping bitterly. Weeping bitterly. He was in anguish over what happened. He was hurting inside over what happened. But he made a choice. See, people don't like it today when you tell them they have to make a choice. People just want to be told what to do. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Tell me how to live. Then they're like the pitcher on the mound. Okay, live this way. No. You ever see them do that? Pitcher will be up on the mound and the catcher's down there and he's throwing signals and the pitcher will go, So that's how most Christians are today. God tells them how to live and they go, no, can we just try something? No, not that one either. Come on, I'm being honest with you this morning. If I can't be honest with you, who can I be honest with? Peter had the same choice. He could have looked at that tree over there and said, you know what? No one will ever like me. No one will ever take me back. No one will ever appreciate what happened. No one will ever realize how sorry I am. I'm going to go over there in my misery and hang myself. Because I didn't deny the Lord once or twice. I did exactly what he said I was going to do. I denied him three times. Instead, Peter chose to get up. And he went back to where the ladies and all the men were staying that had eaten supper that last night. Because that's where we find him in the next story. Judas could have done the same. He could have said, you know what? Looking back on it, it was all part of God's plan. After all, look, no damage was done. He rose from the dead. I mean, take for a minute that scripture just might actually be true that he appeared to the 11 and the only one missing was Thomas. Well, if the 11 are the 11, the 11's Judas too. If Judas hadn't have been there and Thomas hadn't have been there, he'd appeared to the what? 10. See, I knew my math wasn't bad. It's been a long time since I've been in school, but he could have. What did he do? He thought what he did could never be forgiven. And you know what? If he did see Jesus, if he did hang around the 11, I'm wondering how well they let him let it go. You know, one of the greatest gripes I have with the church today is that God wants to forgive people. We just don't want. Because I can tell you, if I'm Andrew, James, Bartholomew, Thomas, I can't believe you, Judas. I can't believe what you did. How dare you show your face back up here? And to give him a kiss of all things. What were you thinking? Jesus said, whosoever. We're the ones saying, I'm not ready for you yet. What you did hurt me so bad, I'm just not quite ready to forgive you yet. when Jesus has already done the forgiving. For whatever reason, the disciples, the guilt, at one point in his life, Judas makes a choice. You say, well, Pastor, wasn't Satan still in him? Well, you know what? I don't think Satan was in him if he was remorseful. I've seen some people I know are demon-possessed, and I'm telling you what, when they say they have no remorse for what they've done, I believe them. But somehow Judas was remorseful for what he did. And at some point in his mind, he chose to end his life. Because whether they told him he never could be forgiven, or the devil lied to him and told him he could never be forgiven, he made a choice in which he now can never be forgiven. Now listen to me. Jesus can forgive, and he wants to forgive. We need to be about the business of telling the world the same thing Isaiah prophesied. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them white as wool. No matter how deep the sin, no matter how the depth of it, no matter how big the sin, no matter the stain of it, God can forgive. See, all the thing about falling is this. It's choosing, making a choice that today, no matter what I've done, today I'm getting back up and I'm walking right with God. Today I choose Jesus over the world. Today I choose life over death. Because His Word says, whosoever, that's me. Doesn't matter what I've done, as long as I come to Him with a repentant heart and I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me clean on the inside. He'll clean me up on the outside later. Clean me up. Take away my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. He can do it. And He wants to do it. We've got to be about helping people get up. Because there's no reason we should lose anybody else because they think they can't be forgiven. God is about forgiving people. And I want you to know, it hurts my heart to read the story of Judas and know that he thought he could never be forgiven. He thought there was no hope for him. Now, different writers are going to say different things, and you may go home and research and say, Pastor, I read this and I read that. I said, okay. In my heart, I have to believe that Jesus had a chance. Jeremy, I have to believe that the God I serve will give him the same chance he gave everyone else in history. He just chose not to take it. And for all the people that I've known in my life who have chosen not to take Jesus, and have killed themselves. Say, well, how many do you know, Pastor? Four. I know four. It hurts me. And I think to myself, where could the church have stopped this? And it stops by exposing the lie that you can't be forgiven. And showing this world there's hope. No matter what sin you've committed. Remember I told you what God's will was earlier? He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We've got to be about helping people get back up when they fall. Sometimes they can't do it alone. Sometimes they need your help and my help to get back up. An encouraging word. Because you know what? Here's what I know about sinners. They know they're living in sin. I haven't met too many sinners in my life that didn't know they were sinning. What I have seen is a lot of sinners who have never been told they could be forgiven and that God wants to forgive them. That's what I haven't seen. And that's what we got to be about doing. You want to know where this church is going to go in the next year or two? It all depends on how willing you are to love people back into the kingdom. to love people and show them how much Jesus wants to forgive them. That's where the church is headed. It's all up to you. Because the more and more we show the love of God to others and tell them of his forgiving power, the more they're going to realize not only can Jesus save them, but Jesus can change them. We got to be about helping people get back up again. So glad you joined us today, but we'd really rather see you in person. Service times are at 10:30 Sunday morning and 6 p.m. on Sunday night. We're located at 582 Rockingham Road. It's on Highway 5 across from Everyday Inn in Bells Falls. We have other activities going on during the week. You can read about those at our website, www.faithchristianag.com. God bless you. Have a great day.